Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Horrible Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Drew.
And, you know, the internet's a scary place. Let's make it a little less scary or scarier. Follow us at the Horrible Podcast on Twitter. Actually, we're Horrible PCast on Twitter. HorrorBullPCast.
Yo.
On the web, we're just thehorriblepodcast.com. And pretty much everywhere else on the web, we are thehorriblepodcast.com.
With a bull. We are a horned beast.
That's right.
Right, Brian? Aren't you a horned beast?
I'm always horned. I know what you're doing, and I don't like it.
I know what you're doing.
That was from Happy Gilmore.
yeah, it is. Do a different read of it.
I know what you're doing, and I don't like it.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
You want to go? Let's go. I'm in on the golf course. Jesus.
Come on. Okay.
Happy Billy Madison.
That's been our happy cast.
Still the best Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah, for sure. Well,
besides Jack and Jill.
Yeah. I mean, Jack and Jill is obviously
and
the
blended.
Best. Yeah. Jack and Jill and Click are the very best in what Adam Sandler has to offer.
You know, I will actually say that I really like Punch Drunk Love, but I don't consider that
great.
Adam Sandler.
No,
movie.
It's that's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie.
I spent the last couple weekends catching up on Paul Thomas Anderson film. Not catching up, but rewatching Paul Thomas.
What'd you watch?
I watched Boogie Nights, Magnolia,
great.
Punch Drunk Love,
great.
There Will Be Blood,
great.
And I didn't watch Heart Eight. But I hear yeah. I'm not really. I listen to him on his Marc Maron podcast, and it doesn't sound like I'm missing much, considering he had to fight for the rights to get the movie back from the studio to recut
yeah.
it. So
that happens a lot. I've been reading a lot of books about the film industry recently because, you know, I'm intellectual, and that's something that's a running theme to films is like one person bought the rights to this thing, and so they decided to produce it, but they wanted Final Cut, and so this other person had to fight in order to have Final Cut because, like, Hal Ashby, the famed director of like Being There and
awesome.
Harold and Maude, he was mm-hmm. a notoriously slow editor. Like he would take years to edit something. So at one point,
is he Terrence Malick's editor?
No, but that's also a running theme. Is Terrence Malick's sort of like really slow editing? But Hal Ashby would have to hide his film. I can't remember, was Being There his last film?
Think so.
The one before that, then there was one before that that he edited and nearly got it taken away from. Like the studio, like showed up a la the mafia at his house, and he had to hide it in his trunk or something and drive away and secretly like edit and in secret to turn it in. so yeah, that happens in movies. I wonder if it happened in this movie.
No, it was not. He had 8 million ways to die
in the West.
Slugger's wife. Had a number of things.
Wait,
after that.
Will you
the
say
last
the last
one? That people cared about, I guess. Before that was Coming Home and Bound for Glory and Shampoo and The Last Detail, or
right.
all before there.
Say the ones. What was the one right before Being There? What was the movie that came out right before Being There?
Coming Home. That was with John Voight.
Yeah,
and,
that's John Voight's Oscar. Yeah, I think it might have been Coming Home that he was editing very slowly, and they did like the studio had no idea what was going on. It was either that one or the one right after Being There.
It did give us the original song by Cinderella, Coming Home, though. So
yeah, of course, in 1978, Cinderella song.
That's right. That is right.
They were in there.
You know who didn't spend a lot of time editing? The makers of Friday the 13th,
Marcus Nispel.
You know, halfway through this movie, I thought, wait, I thought they were rebooting this. Is this the reboot? Is this the one Eisner was in part of? And I realized that they've already rebooted Eisner, right? Jason Eisner, yes. Mm-hmm. Is this the one he's being part of? Wait, why is this out already? How did I miss this? Yeah. I had questioned my sanity whether or not I even knew this movie existed.
Well, you got to realize this episode is going to come out on the 6th anniversary of this movie.
I know. It's crazy.
It's 6 years old.
That was
and
my
first
And there
hasn't been another one since then. That's what blows my mind. This movie actually did really well at the box office, and we haven't gotten another one since then.
I'm kind of... Yeah, as I looked it up as I was watching it, and I was kind of like, when did this come out? This only came out like 3 years ago.
It feels like, yeah.
It feels like a very recent movie. And then I looked and it was 2009. I was like, where have the years? I was more sad about my life and how quickly, like Friday the saddest thing about this movie is how it is a marker for how quickly my life is ending. So
no, it's one of those, like the, yeah, that's one of those films that make you unintentionally were broken by Friday the 13th. Like, that's the snap.
This movie put me into a sleeping bag and then beat me against a tree.
And cooked you over, roasted you over the fire.
Yeah. Which I can't decide if I like. I think I like the tree beating better.
Yeah.
Oh, I
don't know. This was pretty brutal. Like setting a fire under someone, like a Rube Goldberg machine kind of.
Yeah. I mean, death. And how dedicated must you be? It's not that easy to start a fire that quickly. I mean, was it wet outside? Did he have dry logs?
Well, it is for Rambo, it was already Jason. Going.
It's,
the fire was already going.
Or Leatherface Jason. Leatherface Jason. That's the Swedish version of Jason is Leatherface Jason.
Yeah,
Jambo.
Jambo Unchained. My biggest problem with this movie, have we mentioned that it's the Friday the 13th remake from 2000?
It was quick, but I did.
My biggest problem with this movie is that it tries to do the first 5 or 6 movies in a single movie, or the first four, really. So it never really has time to breathe because it's constantly moving. This was like the pre indie horror revolution of that time period, like of the 2010s, I guess, where it was just like, all right, we got to keep moving. We don't want to, this is the Twitter generation. We can't have a movie where people wait around for things. Like, there constantly has to be movement. And it totally worked much to the detriment of this film.
I'd say I completely disagree with that. I was never bored during this movie, and they watched it the second time. That's what I was really surprised by, because I kept waiting. I was like, I had work to do, and I was like, oh, I'll do during all those boring setup scenes like the originals had, where I always sit there and get bored during those movies when, like, let's sit around and play a game. It's like, nah, I don't really need to sit around and watch you guys do that. But yeah. I mean, I didn't like these people, but I wasn't bored by it. And it is so much better than the handful of other remakes that came out right around there too, like Prom Night. Oh my God, yeah. That's viciously awful.
I do not think this is a terrible movie, but I also think that there's something wrong with the character. Who is there? There's no hero.
I think there's no protagonist.
It's just like, go ahead.
The worst part had to have been the characters.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, yeah. They're bad.
I just didn't give a shit. They were just weird, dumb Eli Roth stereotype. Like, oh, boobies and look, I'm going to go do this weird asshole thing.
It immediately fell into the stereotypes, too. It wasn't even like a, I mean,
it tried.
The guy is telling handsome dude is telling the guy at the gas station about losing his sister. What kind of asshole comes up? It's like, hey, dude, I'm trying to buy something.
Yeah.
But they'd already set that guy up to be like the Uber ass. I mean, it's like. Like, he has nothing redeeming about him at all. You're right. It certainly does fall into that. I mean, I think so many
OCD
of the problems
about his parents.
Yeah,
his parents, quote unquote, woods cabin.
Yeah,
yeah. It's
my parents built a house at the bottom of a quarry.
Yeah, I mean, it. Like, the problem I think is the movie works too much in shorthand, and also, I mean, I wasn't bored because there was stuff constantly happening, and it wasn't like, well, what do we do? But it was also sort of too, there was too much movement to the, I don't know, like, I like the kills and stuff, so I don't know what I don't like about the second half of the movie, but I much prefer the first half, I think. Right. I think we are in equal opposition on this, which I'm fine with. Like, I kind of like the snarky first half as opposed to the, like, this, I like the kills in the second half, but the characters, I was like, I don't care about any of these. Like, who cares what happens to them?
It's almost too, like, Friday the 13th, the movie that starts 3 times.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It kind of is. Like,
well, that was part of the issues I had. I mean, I think the beginning part is way overwritten, especially especially that beginning plot. That marijuana plot is so pandering. It's like pandering and unnecessary. It's like, we know you guys like marijuana. Yeah. Here's a whole plot of people going around to steal it.
I kind of think the whole movie's like that. Sorry, Drew.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think it would have been interesting. I think you could have built on that and had a whole better idea there. Is So everyone knows there's this local legend going around, and so these pot farmers use that to protect their crop. Like, people don't go around because they're afraid of this, because they built up this legendary Jason character that really is a real legend around there, but he hasn't been seen in a while, and so they have like a guy they hire that does that, and then all of a sudden these kids do get brave enough to go out and do it, and real Jason comes out to get them.
This movie is also, speaking of things that are outdated, it's a movie of new technologies that are way outdated now. Like, when they're going to the pot stuff, they're like,
GPS.
Oh, yeah, here's my GPS machine. I'm walking around. Isn't this high tech? And at the time, it was like, whoa, because iPhones.
I also enjoyed the reference to, oh man, didn't you bring any good beer like Heineken? I was like, what the fuck?
Pabst Blue American PBR, Ribbon.
I drink PBR or Heineken any day.
I also think,
what am I, at Outback? Come on.
Would you have
a movie? Movie people are the only people who drink Heineken, and they all drink Heineken. It's crazy.
That's true.
Because they have a killer marketing budget.
Yes,
you know?
They do.
I don't know. I mean, I could talk. The thing is, I don't dislike the movie. I just don't know. I want to talk about the things that make me feel weird about this movie.
Oh yeah, I don't like it. That's the thing. Like, I'd still put it in a. It just ends up being what it should have been, is just, hey, here's a new Friday the 13th, guys. Thanks. Some are pretty shitty. This one's not as shitty as others. So I thank you for giving me a new one.
This is no new
that's
blood.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it also,
not seven.
It's, did Nispel do the Chainsaw remake?
Yeah.
Which I know, again, I like you and I know.
Yeah, I like this better than that, maybe. But I need to rewatch it, perhaps, because I don't know if I've ever watched this since that first time, and I just had such a
negative,
violently
result.
Reactive negative reaction to it that I've just been, I don't like it. I don't ever want to watch it.
Drew kicked the theater chair. His knee jerked so quick.
He's like, God damn! And the guy in front of us was like, dude.
There were no guys in front of us.
No, that was it. Well, yeah, I guess I like this. I mean, there are parts of this I like. I actually do like the first half. I feel like it sets some stuff up, but then the second half is just like, here's a bunch of random crazy things that just happen. And also, I agree with you that it's Friday the 13th, the movie that starts three times, because you have the end of the first movie, then you kind of have the second movie, then you sort of have the third movie too, and then you have these characters who do things for, like, here, okay, so we have to defy this guy because why not? Because how else are we going to die if we don't go off by ourselves?
Right.
And that's a problem. I mean, let's think about the early Friday the 13th movies. Do they also have that problem where they're like, let's go out here so we can die?
Someone always goes off to have sex, I mean, in the first one, why does Kevin Bacon and his girlfriend go off to the empty cabin to do it, you know? And
I was really bothered by in the second starting, that girl was so weird that a friend wanted to, or the guy was so weird that his friend wanted to watch them bone. I mean, what friends don't watch other friends bone on a camping trip, right?
Right. Yes, of course. Like, who doesn't want to do that? I've been watching Californication, and I've just decided that everybody wants to bone, and everybody wants to watch everybody bone all the time. That's all. And no one cares if you cheat on everyone in your life, because that's just the way that it goes in
California.
Hollywood.
I want to jump ahead slightly, but only because we're talking about the characters. So was the main girl with the really lame guy whose parents owned the cabin?
Because
it seemed like it, and then all of a sudden she ran off really quickly, and she didn't really seem angry that he was having sex with that other girl.
But he also gets
Jason and started killing people, so I understand maybe she just had priorities, but she really didn't seem like she cared that much.
But he also got mad when she came back with that dude, so I couldn't tell if it was just territorial douchiness or if they were dating.
I always thought they were dating. It felt like it set it up like they were early on, and I had a problem with her character. So like, that completely ruins her character because they've given us nothing redeeming about him.
Right.
Like, even when he talks to her, there's nothing redeeming. And so it's like, why does she like him at all? Because he's pretty and, oh, he has money. Oh, I get it. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
I just answered my own question.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the same reason I had for, like, why are we getting a new Friday the 13th 6 years? Oh, right, money.
To me, it just feels like a movie of like, oh, here are the things you like. Of course she's going to be topless and skiing.
Yeah.
These guys are, of course they're going to, it's a dumb movie in the way that, like, it's similarly dumb to 80s slasher movies. Like, that's the one thread that goes through it is, like, it has to be dumb. There has to be dumb things in it. Like, here's the things you want, right, people? Here's your stupid shit.
They didn't want to be self-referential is the thing. And so they were trying to go so far to the other side of that that it was almost a very irreverential slasher movie. It's like,
I like
that. I have never been offended by someone doing Sister Christian before, but I wasn't.
That was offensive. I agree. Yeah.
I was like, fuck you, dude.
Why was that in there? Like, why?
I think it's the same reason as the marijuana. It's like, hey, guys, the 80s.
I guess, yeah.
But what do you mean the 80s? I don't know if they're, because it's not supposed to be set there.
But it's,
no, but I meant like the whole, like, he was like, hey guys, remember how cool the, like, the song was in the 80s? Remember? Yeah. I don't know. That's the feeling I got. It's like, you're trying to be cool playing Sister Christian.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, some, like, a lot of the decisions. I mean, the thing is, the movie looks good. The kills look fantastic. I mean,
I like that Jason a lot.
And Ben Mears is a fine Jason. I mean, he's more lithe. I mean, he's not the giant gargantuan Kane Hodder. I mean, he kind of moves well. He has like
he runs. Yeah, I mean, they go with that.
He has an underground cavern like House of a Thousand Corpses.
And Wolf Creek and all these other things. And
also, good to see Trig Palin getting some work.
Which one?
Jason Voorhees.
Ah.
God, I knew that would be polarizing. What?
I don't think I follow. Drew, do you get it?
Yeah, unfortunately.
What do you mean? I don't get it. Fill me in.
We'll let
him. Explain yourself. You're going to let him look it up?
I'll look it up. Sure. Okay.
That's fine.
I'm sorry. Hey, you guys, you hear those breaks? That's the podcast coming to a screeching halt because I'm stupid.
I didn't know if I was like, I figured I'd get an ooh from both of you, and now it feels bad because someone doesn't understand the joke. God damn it.
Did
Tyler.
Something happen with Trig Palin today?
No.
No.
I can't believe Brian won't say it.
What was Jason Voorhees? What was his malady at the camp?
He had a weird face.
It's scoliosis.
That's exactly what it is. I think you're just fucking with me.
I'm not. I really have no idea what you're talking about.
Jason Voorhees had Down syndrome.
Had Down syndrome. Gotcha. I was thinking
Down syndrome, though.
I don't think so.
I thought he was just
mentally retarded.
I think at the time they actually called it, because they called him a mongoloid, didn't they? In like the original one, like in the original one, like that's what they called. They talked about him as.
Yeah, this is becoming. It has to become the most offensive.
Well,
offensive joke I've ever done.
Yeah, and also timely, right?
What do you mean? All right. How about I'm glad to see joke. Corey. I'm glad to see Corky from Life Goes On.
There you go. That's way more time.
There we go.
Anyway, yeah. I mean, where were we? What were we talking about?
I don't know. This is
the podcast. Is hey guys, let's try to crank this thing back up.
I don't know either. I think I really wish. And I read an article. I was reading some of the interviews around it and what the writers are doing. And they didn't want to make Jason too sympathetic. They want to give him a little sympathetic angle, but they didn't want him to get too sympathetic. I was really disappointed because I think that would be maybe an even better angle to play up.
Is
make him more of a sympathetic killer. He's still this horrible killer. It's like, why is this guy doing this? But to give him some sort of, some sort of sympathy there as well, I think would have been nice.
Yeah. The problem with this movie is that it's way shallow. Like, the characters are shallow. And even though I agree with you that it never sits still and it does have some movement, I still think it's kind of weird that, like, you never get a chance to, like, feel like get who the characters are. They're just like, oh, this the Asian guy's he's the kind of weird, also kind of a weird douchey guy, and the African American guy's he's starting a rap label. And
oh god, that was the worst thing ever.
There was it's weird because it's the writers trying to figure out how to write about race in a horror movie.
Well, they just don't put them in it. Don't put obvious race bait characters in the movie, which is all those guys are.
Yeah.
It's like, look, we're multicultural. It's a Friday the 13th. It doesn't have to have this weird multicultural friend group.
Yeah, it and even if it did, like it chooses to comment on it in a really snide way. Like, don't be racist just because I'm in this movie, but then we have to comment on race here. Like, this is where we comment on race, and I don't it was cringeworthy, and I remember cringing the first time I saw the movie in the theater, and but this time I was like, it's just hard to sit through it. It's bad.
Yeah, well, it's just nothing. I think I found to be one of the more problematic things is nothing that was supposed to be funny was funny.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. Absolutely right about that.
And they killed the one guy who had the potential to do that way too early, Ryan Hansen. When they go ahead and kill him, and he already hadn't done anything good. Yeah. That's how poor the screenplay is. They couldn't do anything with Ryan Hansen, who is really, really, really funny, just naturally funny and douchey funny. Like, he'd have fit perfect, but you don't let him be, and then you just go and kill him.
Why is Ryan Hansen the agent from Silicon Valley and the guy from My Boys, and is it that guy?
No, he's the guy from Party Down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. That's right. That's right. The model. Yeah, okay, gotcha. there's also the guy who plays the agent or the lawyer in Silicon Valley. He was also in the TV show My Boys. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. Well,
I just don't remember.
He was the guy who was
connection. Oh.
He was the dark-haired guy. He still got killed pretty early on. I think he got killed with the other marijuana group people.
Oh, yeah, no, the guy who's on Mad Men.
Yeah, he's on Mad Men.
Yeah,
much better show than My Boys, right?
Yeah. I totally forgot that he was in this when I saw him. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, that guy?
I just feel like the funny stuff isn't funny. And why? I have a question. Do they think it will be? Like, do the people who write this think that stuff will be funny, or that they just need to fill with dialogue? That's an honest question.
No, and I think that's a great question, because I have that thought about a lot of films. Like, the dialogue that happens, like, this had to have gone through at least 30 people before we got out to this theater, before someone said, that's not funny.
Yeah. Do you think it's just too many people taking a pass at it? Like,
Too many what?
People?
People?
Writers?
Too many cooks?
Too many cooks in the kitchen? do you think it's too many people taking a pass at it? Like, here's the
script,
and here's another person. Like,
just no one caring, really, when it comes down to it. Like, that's not what's important when it came down to it.
Or it gets written, and someone decides, oh, well, that's not funny, and they don't think that's funny, so they try to change it to their own.
True.
Yeah. I just see someone taking
people. There's people. Most of the time, people are not funny.
No,
and they think they are. So, I mean, I've suffered from that malady myself.
I just think, like, it seems like when you have a property like this that people care about it doing well. I just imagine a producer's like, you know what? The script is missing. It needs some jokes. Like, what are the kids joking about these days? And, like, it just feels like those, not dad jokes, but somewhat like. Horror movie jokes are a very specific kind of joke.
I mean, right, you're already killing kids. You can let it be risky.
In this case, we're killing assholes, though, so I wouldn't really bother by that.
Drew, do you agree that these are just kind of like Eli Roth characters that we have? Like, is that the thing?
I think that's what makes Jason so actually really sympathetic in this one. It's like, thank you. Please kill these people.
That's a great service.
Yeah, these are people who need to die. Like, when they were walking and talking about whatever that first group was talking about when they were going trying to find the marijuana, and just listen to their conversation, like, nah, just go ahead and do it, please, Jason.
There's
talk
just
about them quickly.
Yeah. The dankest nugs that they were going to find?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, no, it's getting into a longer thing, so if you have something else, go ahead.
No, it is. I mean, it's the same thing. It's just, it's a lot of, this is how we're going to appeal to this group that we anticipate coming to see this movie. Like, that's the weird thing about it, is it falls.
I think it goes back to what I said. I mean, it's pandering. I mean,
yeah,
and that's what it is. I mean, the humor panders.
It's 30-year-old people writing jokes for 15-year-olds. Sorry.
Yeah, I just think that's
It's hedonism. It's 35-year-olds writing jokes for 15, like trying to appeal to 15-year-olds. Like, what?
For 25-year-olds, you're playing 17-year-olds to appeal to 13-year-olds.
I had to check IMDb to see how old the guy from Party Down was. I was like, Jesus, Hank Christ, there's a...
Hank.
Yeah, then I was like, how old? That guy must be pretty old. And then I was like, oh, Party Down only came out like 2 years ago.
How old was he? Did you look that? Like, when was he born? Do you have any idea?
Hang on a second. I'll tell you right now. He was, 1981.
So he's, in 2009, he was 28?
Yeah.
That's funny. Wow. I mean, are there college age kids? I mean, they're playing beer pong. It's just like.
Well, that's what they're supposed to be. They talked about being friends from the dorm or something.
It feels like a movie written by a market research company. In part. I mean, not the Jason stuff necessarily, but all of this stuff, the accoutrement that goes with it. Like, what are they going to be doing while they're there? I don't know. Playing beer pong, drinking out of a shoe. Like, who's ever? Yeah. Have you guys ever done that?
Oh yeah,
disgusting.
You're lying, Brian. Have you done that for real?
Yeah. Now, I mean, Drew and I now, when we drink, we usually drink, see who can drink out of a shoe. We're like, oh man, you fucking lose this one tonight. You're drinking out of this shoe.
The weird thing is, it wasn't even a boot. It was just a kid Converse.
Just the dude's shoe.
Yeah, it was just a shoe. It wasn't a boot. It wasn't. Anyway, yeah, that's semantics.
No,
I know.
No, I've never done that.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I mean, that's the depressing part, is I can never tell when, like, well, is this just meant for me to like, or is it good? Do I think it's good? Like, what purpose does this serve? Because I don't know, like, they could have spent more time having the characters do stuff or talk about stuff. Like, because if you're going to move that quickly in a script, it seems like you would have more dialogue about the characters. Like, what do you learn about these characters except that they are kind of assholes? Like, when you have the African-American, like, what is his name? The African-American character.
I don't know. I don't know what anybody's name is. I can tell you Clay was the main guy. And Trent
Clay
was
Miller,
the douche guy.
Trent was douche.
Chewy Lawrence, I think.
Why does he, at one point, he pulls out a catalog to masturbate to? Why does he do that exactly?
Because he's high, man.
Is that the only motivation? Because I thought he was watching someone else do it and then was like, I guess I gotta do this now. But
you know,
why?
Man,
like,
don't you normally have to find like the Victoria's Secret catalog or something when you're jerking off?
No. I mean, 2009 me might disagree, but it's just, I mean, the problem is that it's like, he does it because people, like, because it's a thing that can be done. Not because, what do we learn about this character that he would do that? We don't. Like, we do not learn that. That's not something that we learn. Like, it's not character driven at all. It's just, well, this is another scene. He has to do this because why wouldn't he? Because this isn't, he does it because it's in the movie. Like, it's the circular logic of, like, he does it because it's there.
Well, and I also think that the, like, nothing is made of, like, he makes the one comment, like, oh man, you know, no cell signal, just so we know there's no cell signal at this house.
Right, yeah.
But makes the joke that, you know, I'm supposed to be doing business. Never does any business. Doesn't even pretend like he wants to do business.
Yeah, he's just trying to show off for the
gals. I mean, they could have even made him, like, going crazy to where he's, like, looking for a signal to go wander away from the house to get killed.
Yeah. Well, like, it's like the Asian character, the Asian American character, who's like, he goes to the other room, the garage.
To the tool shed because he has to fix the chair.
Yeah. And I don't know if I'm just not like that, but I've never gone to a, like, to hang out for a weekend and go, like, guys, I'm just going to go walk around and admire the tool shed for a while.
But he was told to. He had to because he has to fix the chair that he broke.
But then he gets there and is so enamored with it that he just stays. He's like,
well,
oh, man.
Tool shed has got, like, their skis and their goggles, and then he finds scotch, which he drinks in the worst way you could ever drink scotch like that.
Well, he also starts to play hockey with himself. Like, why? Yeah. None of this makes any sense.
Well, Jason has a hockey mask.
To break a light, so...
To break a light. I don't know. I'm sorry. Like, I don't mean to be down on it. It's just, it's weird.
It's okay to be down on it. It's not any sort of great piece of anything. It's just no worse than a run of the mill Friday the 13th, honestly.
How unlikable the characters are and the fact that there's nothing that really binds them together, it would have just been as simple to make an hour and a half movie where it's just a bunch of clips of people getting killed by Jason.
So I have two things to say about that. There was a DVD that came out in like 2001. It was called Boogeyman. And all it was it was a 2-hour DVD of the best kills from 80s slasher movies. And that, my friends, was kind of awesome. And at a certain point, it's almost like, why don't we just have more of that kind of...
It would make sense instead of this movie to have that.
Well, and like, I don't know. I mean, the reason that the girl, I guess she ends up dying, but she's ostensibly the protagonist for a while. Her only character trait is that she's nice to the guy that everyone else is mean to.
Well, not even everyone else, just the main guy. No one else even acknowledges that Jared Padalecki exists.
Yeah. I mean, most people don't acknowledge that Jared Padalecki exists.
Everybody
also,
else.
Hey, guys. No coincidence that Tyler brought this up, but Boogeyman, Tyler wrote a book called Boogie House.
So, there you go. I was planting the seed. It's available on...
I just looked it up. It is. It's called Boogeyman, the Killer Compilation.
It's pretty awesome.
I 56 minutes. Perfect.
56. I thought it was 2 hours. I'm a liar. But it's worth it because it just has crazy kills from slasher movies. It's pretty great.
So yeah, I mean, the thing about Jared Padalecki, that dude is gigantic too. Yeah, if I were any of those people, I would not have stepped to him. He was honestly, the one thing I noticed in the barn fight, I had no problem buying that he could go toe to toe with Jason.
Yeah,
he's a beast.
He's almost like Busta Rhymes. Am I right? Halloween 9 reference.
I hate that sequence. And Michael backs away.
Michael Myers is afraid
told
of Busta Rhymes.
Busta Rhymes to leave, and he does.
Well, that's, you know.
Resurrection. Resurrection is a piece of shit.
Maybe we should do that.
Friday the 13th, the remake, is better than Halloween Resurrection. Halloween Resurrection might be one of the worst of any of these series.
Halloween Resurrection is more.
It is the worst, I think. I'm just going to go and say it is.
Yeah, it's definitely the worst. Oh. It is basically, there's an episode of Tales from the Crypt from, I think, the first season where Morton Downey Jr. films live from a haunted house and everyone from the crew gets murdered.
And oh, right, yeah.
It told all of the story it needed to about that in 30 minutes, and Halloween Resurrection takes an hour and a half to tell that same story.
And insults Michael while doing it.
Insults the ostensible hero, the one we root for, the killer.
We have Recalibration coming there, right?
And then that is not the name of a movie, is it?
Yeah. They're going to recalibrate the new Halloween.
It's called Recalibration.
That's what people are saying. I don't know if that's what it's titled, but that's what they're saying it is. So people are calling it as, you know, shorthand Halloween Recalibration.
They're start calling all new movie reboots by what they're supposed to be doing, like, you know, Friday the 13th, The Money Grab.
Yeah, like...
I mean, you can call them all that. I don't know why you act like that. You act like that's insulting about
this.
No,
you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It's just that, you know, sometimes we kind of fall in love with certain series, and then we hate on a lot of other ones.
A Nightmare on Elm Street, unfucking it.
I absolutely am fine watching this Friday the 13th remake again. I have no desire to watch the Nightmare.
No,
remake
it's pretty
again.
Bad. The scene. I was pretty much done with that movie after the suicide in front of the. Like at the beginning of the movie where the girl or guy, I don't even remember the gender at this point, kills him or herself in a diner filled with people.
Wasn't that Kellen Lutz? That was the Kellen Lutz
character. Yeah, I was done with the movie at that point. It's not good. It's not good at all.
That's the thing that bothers me about this whole remake thing. Remakes are fine. Again, I've mentioned this, when it's a fairly bad movie. When you already have a series that has like 11 films in it, there's no reason to remake it. Just give us a new one.
Yeah. That's good.
Nobody's really.
I don't care if it's good. Just give us a new one. It could be bad because we've had bad ones before. Just give us a new one. Just do something new and different.
No. We're not counting.
Not like Jason X. Not Jason X.
We're restarting the canon. We're refiring Friday the 13th remake part 2. Refiring the canon.
Yeah. It just. I guess. I mean, this movie's problem is not that it doesn't sort of buy into the mythology of the. Of the like camp stuff. I mean, it doesn't really take place at a camp, so whatever. It's just another movie. It tries to cram too much Jason lore into a movie that has nothing else in it. Like I wonder if the people who made this would be like, yeah, the characters suck. Like, who gives a shit about any of the characters at all? But I remember, I don't know. I guess I didn't. I was too young when the first ones came out to know whether or not I should care about the characters or not.
I don't remember caring about any. I mean, I guess that's the thing that offended me least about this. Like, I knew the characters were awful, and I'm fine with that because I know they're going to die. And I was okay with just throwing in as many Jason references as possible into it because that was really more of what I wanted. I didn't want to spend any more time getting to know
these awful characters. You're
just
right.
Wanted to die. Just wanted to die. I did like Padalecki's character. I liked him. I liked what he was doing, finding his sister. I just thought there's stuff that was weird with him doing it, but I liked him. I think where's the crazy guy? We need a crazy old guy.
Where's your crazy old guy?
You get the weird lady who traveled from Texas to have the one scene with the dog and tell him that she's dead. Whatever. It's like,
she ain't living. She's dead.
Also, let's not forget the cop that discourages him from looking for his missing sister.
The cop who was in
so much more from that. I love that actor.
He's awesome because he was in Desperate Housewives and also Hostel 2.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites. And when I saw him, I forgot he was in it, and I got excited, and then he gets two scenes to do nothing.
Two very undramatic scenes.
And also begged me to question, like, the whole idea is this Jason supposed to be like some survivalist Jason who's more like living off the land, and he's got his, you know, his little territory out there, and he's protecting his territory. It would seem to me that killing a cop would have been one of the worst things he could then do to protect his territory out there, because it would bring more scrutiny upon him. So I thought that was a pretty dumb kill for Jason.
He just had like bloodlust by that point. It's just like, this is my big score.
Well, we are talking about a mongoloid that is killing people. He hasn't had the time to really.
That me clearing my throat was a metaphor for the rest of society doing the same thing.
Like, see, I don't know that they've established. I don't know that this one establishes that he's anything other than deformed. Honestly,
that's true.
Although he doesn't talk, but I mean, who does he have to talk to? I guess
he doesn't have to. He's like Nell.
I don't know. I just wonder if there's something. I don't know. I think it's a really fine utilitarian slasher movie that if it hadn't been Jason, if it had been some other weird killer going after them, that'd have been like, oh, all right, that was pretty good. I'm okay with this. And then I would have moved on. It's just the fact that it's like, is it Jason? I don't know. Some of the things worked, and you know, some things were kind of Jason-y.
Yeah. I think I just didn't like this. I think I liked the first half a lot and just didn't like the second half at all.
Why did he kill the weird country bumpkin?
Kev from Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Don't you think that guy had been around before? So if he's, again, protecting his territory, how is this guy a problem?
Because he needs the mask. Isn't that when he gets the mask?
Oh, I know. And that's the only reason he kills this guy. You couldn't have found another way to give him a mask?
I know.
Or is that weed Jason's? And that's why he's killing everybody in this movie.
Ooh, that's a more interesting plot.
You know what?
That's,
we never even thought about that maybe Jason is the one making all this.
Jason's weed, yeah.
Jason face. Instead of
that's
Scarface.
Why he has been. That's why he's protecting his territories, because
that guy said he stole some too.
Right, there you go.
And it's
we just figured out the plot.
It's called.
I like it a lot better now. All the
time. The movie is called Friday the 13th.
There we.
Smokey's in the sequel. He's like, you got slashed the fuck out.
You know what? That's a good point. I think if you look at it from that point of view, is this is a very, very violent part of the Friday franchise.
Yeah.
Yes.
Friday the 13th after next is the sequel that's coming out this year.
I like that because he's Jason, it just never even occurred to me that that was his plot. It's just someone else's. Yeah. But who else has planted this plot out there that Jason hasn't killed?
Yeah, it's got to be his. But how does then
he's like Pablo Escobar of Crystal Lake?
Jason Escobar. That's his name in this.
We never get that revealed. I mean, the mom, you know,
she spent some time in Colombia in the 70s. She was a free spirit. She was way into Gabriel Garcia Marquez.
You know, I mean,
she read 100 Years of Solitude.
Quote unquote camper in the beginning who beheads the mom, just like all these Russian, Mexican drug cartels do to people.
Yeah.
Beheading. You know, college kids on the way to a protest.
I wonder if the mom was growing pot on that camp.
Because
I think it seems like it's set up in this one. Like, the camp seems to be their camp in this one.
But seems to be the Voorhees camp.
The Voorhees camp. Like, gotcha. You know, like that's what it kind of feels more like. Because it's like he has that home there. Like, we see where his like childhood.
Oh, you're right. His
home is on the camp. And it just feels to me like maybe that'd do that. Maybe she was growing pot then. And that's really why those teenagers, that's what happened. She was going out to those teenagers because they figured it out.
The camp is a cover for their weed business. They get the counselors and the kids hooked on marijuana.
Do you think it would have been a more interesting remake if they had actually remade the first one? Or do you think that would negate it all? Like, it would just be absolutely pointless if by the end of it we find out it's the mom again.
Even though we haven't. You're talking about not including the scene of her getting her head cut off at the beginning.
Yeah. Completely remake the original like it's supposed to be a remake of the original, because it's really not. Like we've said, it's the first three or four.
Well, you know, I mean, with successful shot-by-shot remakes like Psycho, it probably would have... I don't know.
Shot for shot, obviously.
I don't know if they could have pulled it off, because like Tyler mentioned, the whole I'm talking about what if people were in their right minds, not Miguel Ferrer from RoboCop doing coke off of hookers' boobs, you know, writing this at the same time.
I would like to see a Friday the 13th RoboCop mashup movie. That would be pretty awesome. Like
dead
Jason,
or alive, you're coming with me. But, he's already dead.
And then yeah. Jason just sits there like...
stares at him.
this is kind of my deal, guys.
Like Jason doing lines and... like I want Jason to be the Miguel Ferrer character, just he never talks. Like that's what I want. Can you imagine that movie?
He's very intense and just stares.
I mean, the hockey mask has holes at the nose point, so I could see him totally doing that.
He'd still do the coke.
Yeah, he would still do the cocaine, but he has a machete. He's way scarier than Scarface. And chainsaws. I mean, Scarface has chainsaws. I mean, this is a perfect opportunity to mash up those two movies.
I think just mashing up any movie with Jason and just start putting Jason into famous scenes, but he doesn't do anything. Say hello to my little friend scene, it's just Jason standing there with a machete.
And a big, just a big mountain of cocaine.
Yeah.
And then it snorts.
Just everything is the network scene. Big network scene. He's just Jason hanging out a window.
He's just looking. People are looking down at him, and he's just staring at them. He's just sitting on camera, staring at the camera.
Takes the place of Kurtz in Apocalypse Now. Yeah. Mark Sheen is trying to kill him, and Jason's just standing there.
It reminds
him as as Quint in Jaws.
Guys,
I think we've had a better time recasting this film remaking it into other popular movie franchises than this movie actually was.
It reminds me, have you guys ever seen the movie, I think it's called Stay Tuned? It's the one
with John Ritter. Yeah.
I love that movie. And Jeffrey Jones plays the devil, right? Yeah. Doesn't Jeffrey Jones play the devil in that
Pretty
movie?
Sure, yeah.
Isn't that what Click is about?
Yes, but Stay Tuned is way better. Stay Tuned, I watched
the
movie.
The repairman, isn't he? The TV repairman?
Who is?
Don Knotts.
In
Stay Tuned.
In Stay Tuned. I don't remember. I just remember Jeffrey Jones is the
nip
is
it
the
in
devil.
The bud, Andy.
Yeah, that's what he said. He's like, yeah. I'm pretty sure it was either Don Knotts or Andy Griffith. Now I'm questioning that.
Don Knotts sounds more likely, but I can't remember. It's been a while since I've seen it.
Also, Mindy from Mork and Mindy.
God, I've forgotten. I want to see that movie. It just came on HBO a lot when I was a kid, so I watched it way more than I should. It was really meta, because I mean I got a lot of the references only I got references later in life because of references that Stay Tuned had. It's weird. There was the guy who worked for the devil, and that was holy shit. He's in all of the Christopher Guest movies, and Eugene Levy. Yeah, he plays the guy who he's in. Never mind. I don't know why I'm talking about that, but that movie's awesome. I kind of want to watch it now. Stay Tuned is awesome. Let's do that next. Let's do that movie.
Well, let's just do movie podcast.
Let's just call it movie podcast. Movieable. The Movieable Podcast.
Better trademark that so someone didn't take that name too.
God.
I just keep trying to think of more things to put Jason in that would... I just thought him as Darth Vader would just be... It'd just be too accurate.
Too close.
It's just the same. Yeah,
yeah, it's too close.
But the whole... But it's like mask and everything is black. Just everything is black.
I want to
black mask Jason.
I want to see Jason as Cher from Clueless. I just want to see that pressing the computer button and see having the outfits go by on it. Him driving the Jeep at the beginning with the but still Alicia Silverstone's over VO where it's like this looks like a Noxzema commercial and it's Jason just staring at the camera
or him looking straight ahead as they jump onto the interstate. Everybody else is screaming.
He's just staring forward.
Yes.
Watch, you get on the freeway. And he's just sitting there.
That's him
as a Clint Eastwood character in Unforgiven.
That's too close. Yeah, I was thinking back to more Clueless, him making out with Paul Rudd. That'd be pretty awesome. Him lying on the bed watching Spartacus with the kid, with the other guy.
That would give us a nice connection back to the Michael, because, of course, Paul Rudd was Tommy Doyle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I kind of wish that they maybe put in like a Tommy Jarvis in this or something. Make Padalecki's character Tommy Jarvis or some sort of connection to character-wise like that. Maybe.
I'm forgetting, but is there someone in the original Friday canon who's looking for a sibling in one of the movies? Or is that, am I
this
mistaken?
One?
I mean, they not
five
one,
maybe.
Yeah, no. And I mean that's the thing. It gets so once you start to get in the later ones, it gets so I get confused and
I don't remember. There's someone straight. Who's looking for someone in a movie that is one of these. I don't remember.
I got to figure out which one I'm going to watch Friday. Which one I haven't watched in a while that I'll watch Friday.
Seven. Watch Seven.
I don't. That's I the like one seven. I want to watch less than any of them.
I like Seven but a lot.
Psychic Jason.
Yeah, it's like it's Carrie versus Jason. I like it. I like that.
I like Six. I like Six.
I like Six too. Seven is the one though that was always on USA Up All Night when I was growing up. So I watched that whenever there was a Friday because that's when I sort of started watching them in the late 80s. That one came out and then USA would play it on Up All Night with whoever said, I think it was the Elvira knockoff. It was like USA.
Rhonda.
Rhonda. Yeah.
Rhonda Shearer.
Yeah.
So that's the one I watched a lot growing up. I like it. I shouldn't. It's terrible, but it also has Bernie in it.
It does. It's
Bernie
Terry
plays
Kaiser.
Terry Kaiser, RIP. I don't know if he's dead.
But they have to drown Jason and chain him up.
I thought that was six. I thought that was six. They had to chain him up because he gets released. No.
I thought the end of seven is where they...
I think they do it in two straight movies because at the end of six, Tommy Jarvis. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in the boat.
Is he?
Because there's a guy in the boat.
Now I'm blanking on the end of six.
I think in the end of six, he puts him underwater. I think he's underwater at the end of six and at the end of seven because I think at the beginning of eight, for some reason, there's like a yacht.
That's because it's the pleasure cruise going to. Down to New York, like
no, but the very beginning, him getting released from his chains is they're on the. I think at the beginning of eight, there's this yacht on a lake for some reason, this small lake at Camp Crystal Lake, and for some reason it hits like an electrical cord or something that jolts. They didn't really try very hard in those movies.
That part I do find familiar.
God, it's been so long since I watched it. Maybe you should watch 8, Jason Takes Manhattan.
Is everyone still there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm still here. I don't know what just happened.
Maybe you should watch 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. Sorry, I muted my microphone for a second.
Okay. I got really confused for a second, yeah.
Yeah, you should watch 8, Jason Takes Manhattan.
I have thought about that one, yeah.
It's just, I mean, the first part, I would say that this movie is closest to that one because that one is also just like shorthand for like, oh yeah, she's a rocker chick with big hair. Of course she's going to play guitar in a stairwell because that's what happens on the boat. Like she's just, oh, I'm going to play metal. I'm not connected to an amp, but this is going to be really loud guitar. Maybe
the,
not.
What's the one with, which Friday the 13th is it when they, what's the one they resurrect him?
All of them? That's four.
No, the one where the
no, that's the being six where they first really bring him back is six.
Is it where the guy, Tommy, corner beats it, eats the heart and all that kind of stuff?
No, that's Jason Goes to Hell.
Okay, that's
the one where Kane Hodder plays the coroner officer, police officer who's like Jason's a pussy. I'd take a mango sized shit in his mask.
And that's where the FBI set up the sting to get him in the beginning. I always liked that.
I did too. I thought that was pretty awesome. Like
they finally bought into the idea that he's been killing all these people. Like the government's like, well, we got to stop this guy.
It's also it shows the psychology of Jason that they have to use. Honestly, he's perverted because they have to use a naked woman to draw him out of the woods.
Right.
Because she gets nude. Like she wears a towel. Like she gets naked, mm-hmm. and then he chases her through the woods.
Yeah. Also, it's got one of the best lines ever by Stephen Williams that makes the in the interview. He's like, people ask me what I think when people say Jason Voorhees. I mean, I think the same thing you think. But what do you think about? Think about a little girl in a dress sticking a hot dog through a donut.
No, I love that line. That's such a great line.
That's one of my all-time favorite lines of any movie. Actually.
I know it's pretty amazing. I mean, all of these. Series got into occult shit. Like if you think about it, Friday the 13th with Jason Goes to Hell does. Halloween did with the Druids in 6, and then A Nightmare on Elm Street.
They bring the Druids in even earlier, don't I mean 2 when they start.
Well, they do Samhain,
starts bringing it in, but you're right. Really, in 6, it really hits.
It becomes that this is the reason he like that's like ah oh, whatever it's backstory who gives a shit, yeah. But 6 is where it really hits, and then Freddy in Nightmare on Elm Street. It's new Nightmare, but it's also kind of 7, right, where they have to kill him in a specific way. In 7, like, it has to be someone from his family or something.
Well, you're talking about Freddy's dead?
Freddy's dead, yeah.
Yeah, is that 7? It's his daughter that kills him.
God, man, it's... I guess eventually you make enough sequels and you have to go to this weird, it's bigger than the character route, which ends up ruining it because really it's not. Like, the only thing you come to these movies for is the character, the murderer.
Right. All you want to see is Jason killing people.
I want to see Jason taking someone and bending him in half the wrong way. That's what I want to see.
Why I think like they said, oops, making him sympathetic is a problem, but I think that would be an interesting role to take. Is like show him not. It's not just that the kids at the camp, like the counselors, weren't paying attention and he drowned. They're fucking mean to him. Yeah. Like they bullied him and they made fun of him, and then he grows up to be this giant monster of a man, and he hates people, and they, because all he learned from that is they killed his mom and they treated him like shit, and so he just wants to kill everyone,
doesn't want to have anything to do with them, people, thumbs down.
And then they
Jason.
Start coming to his camp, and where he's been minding his own business, and then he just wants to kill the shit out of them
because they're no better than the campers who helped kill his mother and himself, basically.
Yeah, and are now trying to steal his pot.
Yeah, now they're getting in on his weed angle. I mean, maybe they'll never remake another Friday the 13th because now that it's legal, he's a much more mellow guy. He just has his own co-op, and he lives in Colorado. He has his own.
Hey, just remember, guys, Jason's a professional. He doesn't get high on his own stash.
Right, but he's still he doesn't have to worry about territoriality because I mean he's got his own. He has his own store, and it's in a strip mall in Denver, and it's just everything's fine. He's fine. He's reaching middle age. He's okay.
He's learned to deal with the bullying that he had as a teenage child.
He's come to grips with it. I mean, you know, weed, man.
Yeah, hey, I get it. Yeah. I
just watching this, and I just wanted another one. And I was just like, why in 6 years haven't I just gotten another, even one just like this, just another one like this with people with lame, awful teenagers being killed by a guy, a giant hulking monster in a hockey mask.
I just
kind of wanted that.
You said this one did well. I was going to say studios are very risk averse, and they want to.
The first weekend it did fantastic. It dropped off the charts after that, but it's still like the second highest grossing film in the franchise. And
it dropped off the charts after that.
Yeah,
that's what I thought you said. I'm sorry. I'm such a child.
I saw an advertisement or a video of a game called Besiege. I think is what it's called. Mm-hmm. The other day, it's basically like someone takes Minecraft, or you make killing machines.
What's Minecraft?
You make killing machines out of these things, and I thought I'm just thinking the thing is like why aren't we just having that, like these, maybe they have made that, the whole that wrestling movie with all the monsters get together,
Monster Brawl,
yeah, but just like the these guys spend like half the movie prepping their weapons of choice and then just go into like a room full of teenagers and just chop them up.
Well, I mean, the new video game is supposed to be that.
The new Friday 13th game?
Yeah, it's going to be an asymmetrical.
The one that they're already suing people over?
Are they?
They sued some small company who was trying in a beta version of a game where you could be the killer and hunt kids at a camp, and I guess it sounded too much like Friday the 13th, so they already went after them.
Ugh, that sucks. Well, I mean, I think this is not a bad... If they get someone who has some talent to make a game like this, seems pretty neat for you to either play a camper who hides or Jason who kills.
Well, you know, the closest thing we'll get to that came out today, Evolve. So.
Yeah, which I'm going to pick up as soon as we get off the podcast.
Are you really?
Yes, sir.
Did it get good?
Does it have any single player stuff, or is it?
I think it's
still
all
fun in that world.
Almost multiplayer.
Nope. Thanks, guys. I'll see you later.
I'm reviewing it, so I have to go get it. But
I have to. They don't just give it to you.
Not this. Like 2K is very. I'll talk about it later.
We'll get into the business side of things after.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything about it yet.
Me either. I'm trying to stay away from reviews so I don't get.
Well, hang on. Let me see what Metacritic
is. Please don't.
I like Tyler's plea sometimes. Like, he really does expect me to go through with it.
I know.
I think he just still doesn't know. And I know. Sometimes I don't either. Is he going to do this? Is this going to be time Brian's going to do it?
Because sometimes you do things just for the shits and giggles of it. You're just
but I wouldn't mess with you like that. I mean, not if you were... Well, never mind. We'll talk about
off air. We'll do the interesting talk off air.
We'll save that for the... you guys can't hear.
All right. You rubes can't hear us talk about that. See how I called our listeners rubes?
I heard that.
No one does that anymore.
Well, Metascore only gave it a 65.
God damn it, Brian. Is that true? Please don't say.
And now you won't tell you.
That's the thing that makes me want to scream at you.
I am joking.
Okay, good. It was a 71.
Except he's not.
Except he's not. Except it was a 71.
They gave it a 54.
God damn it. Okay. All right, guys.
All right, yeah. So, yeah, Friday 13th.
I would still say watch it.
One of my notes, I do want to get to this real quick because I meant to mention this.
Sure, man.
This movie was all about, this is like stealthy Jason. That motherfucker would have smelled so bad. He wouldn't have snuck up on anybody. There's like no way. But everyone's surprised he's there. You would have been like, I can't believe there wasn't a scene where somebody's like, what is that stench?
He
smelled so bad.
Yeah.
And also, I will say they made him like stealthy, but the sound effects kind of were horrible too. Because a couple times he whooshed as he went by the camera,
the Foley work is just like he's like the Flash. I mean,
yeah, he is like the Flash. If I could think of anything DC related that Jason was like, it'd be the Flash.
It reminds me of in the Pantera videos whenever they do a transition and Dimebag's always like he would always do that in the. Have you ever seen the Pantera videos? Either of you?
I have not.
Oh,
which the Pantera awesome. Videos?
The home videos.
Vulgar
videos. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Move out. Move down.
I don't remember what about. It's been so long. I mean, we're talking about literally high school since I've seen those videos.
I used to watch them in college so often, and then the night Dimebag Darrell died, I watched all three of them got just fall down Rant. Drunk. Just
I can imagine
fall down good. Drunk, huh? Do what, Drew?
I said, I can imagine what you were like that night.
yeah, it was not good.
I imagine you went out and bought a lighter just specifically for the reason to hang it over your, hold it over your head.
I got drunk and punched a tree down. Not a big tree, but a. I did. I got angry and punched a tree until it fell over.
Oh my God, I would love, if I could, I would love to see a video of that.
It was, I lived in an apartment complex that was surrounded by trees. It was like a tiny tree. I mean, it wasn't that big around, but I still got angry and punched
it
down.
Even better, I like to think of drunk Tyler searching out a tree, like at first hitting a big tree, like, this is not going to work. This is not going to work. And then going after a sapling.
I know.
like hitting one like, that's, bitch.
Yeah. Like staring one down, like that's the one. And then hitting and then going, nope. Yeah, I was a complete wreck in my 20s. Anyone would want to know. I was a vagabond.
Man.
God, but I had good, they were good days, man. Good days.
Except
for that,
good days, except you, unless you're a tree.
I know.
Around Tyler's apartment complex. Every time he came home, they're like, fuck.
God. What
come September, they would just drop their leaves because they were scared.
They were scared leaveless.
I know all I have in my mind is Tyler doing the two fingers at his eyes and pointing at the
at a tree. I gotcha. You're not in the Brady Circle of Trust.
Oh man.
I'll take you down. Okay.
All right. So yes,
I say watch it. Why haven't you watched it? If you like horror movies and have listened to this podcast, why haven't you watched it at least?
I'm assuming you already have, so
and who is this you?
Probably like me. Start watching it and realize and start watching it and think, man, I'm a horror fan. How come I haven't seen this? And then realize, oh shit, I do. I'll blame that on the dank nugs, man.
The dankest nugs,
the stickiest of the icky.
God. Whatever.
Yeah. So yeah, guys. It's Friday 13th. Remember to follow us on Twitter, HorriblePcast.
Yep.
And if you got any questions, Wolfman's got nards at thehorriblepodcast.com. Literally the longest email address in the history of email addresses.
Yes.
But we can be found there or, contact us on Twitter. We're always quick to respond.
It's not difficult to find us.
No, it's not. We want to be found. We're not hiding. All right. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Drew.
And thanks for listening.